Well, good morning, everybody. This is the car guru, Lenny Lawson, owner of Gateway Ford and Gateway Nissan and the Gateway Auto Center, where we do a lot of different things, usually work on old cars, make old cars like new again. We evaluate them. We acquire them. And then, or sometimes we don't acquire them. Sometimes people just bring them in and say, hey, sell this for me. So, but we still have to evaluate them. You know, you wouldn't expect to buy a car from me and it not be properly sorted out. Well, I don't expect that, I don't expect that of myself. I'm not going to sell a car that's not been properly vetted. Now, you know, you can't see inside of an engine. Well, I guess you can if you take the heads off of it and you can take the oil pan off and get somewhat of a view. But, you know, most car buyers are not going to go to that much trouble. They're going to drive it and they're going to check it out and see how it accelerates. And hopefully if it doesn't make any noise and, you know, doesn't hesitate or, you know, act up in any way, then they may be interested in buying it. Sometimes what I've found over my years is that the average car buyer is not real tuned in to car trouble or let's say coming car trouble, like the 65 Mustang that or 66 Mustang that I have right now. The transmission is slipping, and so this is something else added to the list of things that we have to do to it to get it ready to sell. But the good thing is that once we do everything that we're planning on doing, it'll be worth the money. Too often, though, people buy cars and buy stuff that they haven't really checked out that good, and then they end up putting more money in it and more money in it and more money. And I had a guy just the other day that was talking about that very thing with a Subaru that he owns. Yeah, Subarus break. People don't realize that, but they do. And a lot of electronic issues with this particular car, and he's had it back to the shop numerous times. That is frustrating for anybody, any car owner. You know, you've got kids and you've got soccer games and things that you want to do, and showing up at a car dealership multiple times for the same problem is not one of them, and I get it. And most people at car dealerships, service advisors, service managers, they get it too. They don't really want to see you come back. They want to fix it right the first time, but sometimes they don't because they didn't ask the right questions to begin with. And it's funny what you can learn on a test drive. Too often you tell the service advisor what's wrong with your car, what you think's wrong with it, and they ignore you. And a video often helps, you know, video, audio, any kind of evidence that you have of what your car is doing that you can't get it to do when you're in their presence. And I know how frustrating that is. So those little things that you can do to prove it are helpful. Take it in and you hope that they are going to do what they can to duplicate the problem. Too often, though, they're too busy. They don't get paid to test drive stuff. They just get paid to put on parts. And sometimes you become a guinea pig. So if you feel like that's happening to you in a service department somewhere, I'll be glad to take your phone call to my call center. It's my cell phone, 552-2020. Maybe I can give you a little bit of guidance on that. What to do, where to go. I have some of my favorite dealers in the Tri-Cities that I trust, and small repair shops as well, and others that I wouldn't recommend to anybody because I know who's running them, you know, and that does make a difference. So anyway, I am back from Las Vegas. It was traumatic. Traveling in an airplane is traumatic again with everybody. I just couldn't get used to wearing my face mask again. That was no fun. All the casinos and stuff, we would stroll through. We stayed at the Wynn, which I don't know if you've ever heard of Steve Wynn. He was a high roller. I don't know if he's still alive or not. But he built some beautiful hotels, Wynn and Encore, and there were probably, I think he might have been the original guy behind the Bellagio. Or as I heard one guy from East Tennessee went out there one time, and I said, where'd you stay when you went to Las Vegas? He said, I stayed at the Bellagio. I said, really? I'm not familiar. Oh, Bellagio. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I stayed there before. And, you know, I started to tell him I stayed at the Venetian, but I was afraid that he would pronounce it the Venetian. But you never know. You know, sometimes words don't exactly pronounce like they look, do they? That's sometimes a problem with our language. But anyway, the experience was for a Nissan meeting, and they showed us the future of Nissan, and it looks very bright. We've got some really interesting products coming out, the all-new Z-Car, which I'm not sure exactly what they're going to call it. It has multiple names. The 400Z, another name is the Fair Lady Z. Now, Fair Lady was the name that was attributed to the car, to a Datsun car back in the 50s, and it was... they stole the name for some reason or other. I haven't dug into the history from the Broadway play, My Fair Lady. And this car was called the Fair Lady Z, or the Fair Lady, or the Datsun Fair Lady. I'll get it out in a second. And so anyway, that name was on the back of the car. It is very modern interpretation of the original 240Z, which I love. I was grateful to be able to purchase a 280Z. Now, the difference between the 240 and the 280 is not just 40 digits. It's actually the 240s are worth a whole lot more because they have much smaller bumpers and they are not fuel injected. And they're the early birds. You know, people like the first of stuff. And so I'm hoping that I can be one of the first Nissan dealers to get the new 400Z or Z or Fair Lady, whatever it's called. And be able to, I think there's only going to be 200 and some odd of those, 250. And there's 1,200 Nissan dealers, so I'm probably pretty low on the totem pole. Maybe because I built them a new facility, they'll be willing to be gracious and let me have one for my showroom. Park it beside the 280. Only problem is if I get one of the first initial launch units, I'll probably never sell it. And that ties up fundage. And, you know, we don't always like to do. I've got enough tied up in old cars right now. But the Z, the all-new Nissan Kicks, we got to see it. It's, you know, the Kicks has been out for some time. Great seller for us, very small crossover, but it's not available in four-wheel drive. So they're going to fix that and also make it look a little more bold and square and boxy. Boxy is in, folks, if you didn't notice. People like boxes again. Yeah, I'm trying to think of some of the boxes that I have not liked. The Honda I call it the Elephant, but it's actually called the Element. Sorry if you're driving one right now. That's a little overboxed. But I do like boxy things, and the new Armada is going to be very boxy, very modern looking. And I tell you another really cool thing that's happening with instrument panels. You know how we have the cluster in front of the driver? Well, and then there's a gap, and then there's that new big screen that everybody's growing. You know, they started at about, well, no screen, and then they went to small screens, and now they're up to like, I know the F-150 has a 15-inch screen right there in the middle of the dash hole. The new thing is to make it just one continuous screen from the A-pillar right in front of the driver, you know, from the driver's door basically, over to beyond the center of the dash is one continuous monitor. That's going to have all your information on there. Something else to distract you, I guess. But it really does look good. And you can move things around just by sliding your finger, just like you're doing an Apple iPad or something. Techies like me kind of like that kind of stuff, if it makes sense and it's not too distracting. All the manufacturers are getting away from manual transmissions, but the new 400Z is going to have a manual 6-speed transmission and an optional paddle shift automatic, so that'll be something for everyone. Most of the new vehicles, though, you're seeing have already disconnected the shifter from the transmission. There's no longer a linkage and stuff like that. It's all done by wires, as they say around here. It's all electrical, and there are a lot of other components that are the same. The only thing that I'm not really excited about is having brake by wire. That concerns me. I like fluid when I'm pushing on the brake pedal. I like the idea that there's fluid that's being pressed against the brake caliper or the drums in some way so that I know if the power goes out, I can still stop. And if the electricity goes out and you've got brake by wire, well, you know, you're going to have to Fred Flintstone it. or Barney Rubble it, one of those two, because you're not going to be able to stop the car if it's controlled by electricity. So that's some of the stuff. Las Vegas was there. That's about all I can say. Could not find any $2.99 filet mignons out there. I think that's pretty much gone by the wayside. They want you to pay for everything, and everything is expensive. So whereas Las Vegas used to be a cheap place to go, it is no longer. And unless you like to gamble, there's really no reason to go out there. Sorry if you're from Las Vegas, but that's just the way I feel about it. When we're landing in East Tennessee at the Tri-Cities Airport and I look outside the window and I see all that green, I said, I like it here, and I'll just stay. We'll be back in just a minute. Okay, back in beautiful green East Tennessee. Boy, when you have as much rain as apparently you all had last week, I wasn't a participant in that experience. My yard was, because it was still here, but I was in Las Vegas, and it was the hottest day. We were walking down the strip there, and it was 106. And I kept saying, gosh, it's hot. And my wife would look at me and say, well, what if it had our humidity? I said, well, yeah, I guess. It's still hot. It still feels hot. 106 is hot. I don't care how much humidity you have. But it was, I do get the humidity thing. I do. It was quite the contrast, though, when you're in a well air-conditioned place and pop out into 106. So I don't like that. I'll take the humidity in 85 or whatever. Oh, I was just looking at my computer, and one of my commercials popped up. You know, it's weird how that happens. I'm on USA Today, and I'm wanting to watch a video, particularly about AAA, talking about how costly it is to own a new vehicle now. They're saying it's over $10,000 a year, and then all of a sudden my commercial pops up. At least I wasn't on it very much. It was mostly my daughter. Anyway, the average cost of a new vehicle ownership is approaching $10,000 a year amid a shortage of cars and trucks that has driven up prices, according to a new study. Does that sound like a lot? $10,000 a year? You know, if you're looking at, let's see, they're saying 9666, 666, probably a bad number, or $805.50 a month, according to 2021 Your Driving Cost Study released by AAA, so it's got to be genuine. The study was conducted from May 2020 to May 2021. They reviewed the cost for the five top-selling vehicles in nine categories, and these vehicles were then assessed across six categories of expenses. So fuel and maintenance, repair, tire cost, insurance, license, registration, taxes, depreciation, and finance charges. That sounds like a lot more than six. Maybe they've grouped some of these together. They're saying that the average price of a vehicle last year was $32,903. And recently they're saying that it has topped $40,000 for the average car. That's some serious appreciation in new car prices. But I think, you know, what we've seen is a much more drastic appreciation. That's an increase in value of used cars, used trucks and SUVs primarily. You know, some vehicles, occasionally we'll run a promotion. We try to do a buyback offer where we would love to buy your vehicle. And sometimes people will actually come in and say, okay, I don't need this thing anymore. It's a third car. I'll sell it to you. And so we throw a number out there, which is basically average book value, and it's subject to an appraisal. It says that in the fine print. The fine print isn't real fine. Most people just choose not to read it. I always recommend that you read the fine print, because as one of my sayings I learned many years ago, what the large print giveth, the fine print taketh away. And so the fine print sometimes says, well, just stuff that makes sense. I mean, if let's say that you were trying to buy your cousin's car, and you hadn't seen it in a couple years, and he drives it all the way down, and finally he pulls up in the driveway, and you see a big dent, you know, on the left quarter panel, and you know, you open the door, and the smell just about knocks you over, and you're he's got more miles on it than what he said, and it's just, you drive it, and it, you know, it just doesn't feel good. It doesn't drive right. you pull back. And he said, well, you told me you'd give me $10,000 for it. And I said, yeah, but that was 10 years or 2 years ago, and I didn't realize it was going to be in this kind of condition. And so that's what car dealers do when they sell at these buyback offers. And I do it too. We send out these. Those are basically a basic book value. Now, is it possible that your car is worth more than book value? Yes, it certainly is. I mean, if you've taken exceptional care of your vehicle and the miles are lower and the condition is excellent and you've got good maintenance records and there's no dents or dings and you got new tires on it and really basically no flaws, we'll always pay more for a nice vehicle. But most people don't keep their cars in that kind of condition. It's sad, but because it is an investment, would you agree that a car is an investment? And most of you are saying, yeah, it's a lousy investment. Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, lately cars have been a really good investment, especially cars that you bought a year or longer ago. They're actually worth more today than they were then, and that's what your 401k is supposed to do. But in this case, it's your car. Now, if you take care of it, then I'm not – do I sound like I'm lecturing? Maybe I am. I just feel like I see so many cars that come in to be traded, and it just amazes me. If you were selling your house, would you not vacuum the carpet and, you know, clean up a little bit? I mean, it just makes sense to do that if you're selling your house, and it makes equal sense if you're selling your car. To go take it out and get it detailed. I can promise you, you'll get more money for it if it's clean and if it's ready to go. And if it does show any damage on the Carfax report, it's really helpful if you have taken pictures of that and have a copy of the estimate in your glove box. And you can pull that out and say, yes, this was the accident. It was just a little grocery cart, you know, slammed into the side, and I decided to get it painted. And see, because the Carfax report doesn't tell you that it was a grocery cart. It's what the guy is appraising your car. He's thinking, okay, this car was T-boned in an intersection. And so you don't have the information. Information is power. But anyway, if you look at what the values of cars and the cost of maintaining your vehicles, I mean, I think there's a much higher cost of not maintaining your vehicles. And that's my point. You know, service the car on a regular basis. Be consistent. While the car's new, take it back to the dealer and get it serviced. All of your oil changes. Do you remember why I told you that? I told you that for a specific reason. And it's not because the dealership is cheaper, a cheaper place to get your car serviced. I personally think it's a better place to get your car serviced because they have a checklist that they have to go by. They have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that your car. I think they have more responsibility because than the mom and pop place does. Reputation does matter, but dealers, their ratings and all that stuff matter more, even more, I think. And it's so important for them to satisfy you. But that's not the main reason. The main reason is because if you have a warranty claim and your vehicle is out of warranty, let's say you're 5, 6, 10,000 miles out of warranty, I can promise you, if you took it back to that dealership on a consistent basis and every time it needed the oil changed, anything needed to be done, you had it done at that store, the dealer and the factory will stretch your warranty and cover things that aren't covered. Now, they may not pay for the whole thing. Let's say your transmission blows up, and it's obviously going to be an expensive repair. Many times the manufacturer will pay for the parts, and you pay for the labor or half of the labor. You know, and they don't have to do anything, but I'm telling you they will if you can prove that you're a loyal customer. So if you bought a Chevrolet, or if you go to the Chevy store to get it taken care of, and at least until it runs out of warranty. If you want to go someplace else, that's fine after it runs out of warranty. But if you're driving a Subaru or a Honda or anything else like that, it's better to take it to the dealer. Now, the people who own mom-and-pop shops or independent repair shops and stuff are going to disagree vehemently, whatever that word is. They're going to be mad. But if you don't take it to them and you listen to this radio show and they're listening right now, they're going to say, well, we do just as good a work as the factory, and they probably do. But that's not the point. The point is you took it to the dealership, you were loyal there, and they will take care of you because of that. Now, I have seen the factory stretch on cars with 100,000 miles on it because they were regularly serviced at the dealership. That's a fact, Jack. And we'll take our last break. You know, it's a shame that we seem like we're back where we were last year as far as this pandemic is concerned. I think it's important for people running businesses like me to be cognizant of that and protect my employees as well as my customers. And, you know, you need to protect yourself as well. Just, you know, I know Tim Cable has really struggled with COVID and had a rough time last week in the hospital intensive care. And my, I'd like for everybody to just pray for Tim Cable and pray for his continued recovery from COVID. And it's tough when you don't, you either don't have a vaccine or you're not vaccinated or, you know, you just get unlucky and something like that happens. So listen, we got to do everything to be safe and keep this thing at bay and hopefully eradicate it someday. But I wish all of you a healthy, happy week, and we'll be back and see you tomorrow.